And the message this morning is entitled Putting Down Roots, and we're going to look at a passage out of Acts chapter 2. So if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Acts chapter 2, and it is the general text that we're going to work from this morning. But I want to begin by saying it's often said that the most important decisions that you will ever make in life happen between the ages of 18 and 25. Now, if you think about those ages, these are the ages where if we think back in our years, 18 to 25, we made a lot of decisions in there that affect the trajectory of our life. And if you're in those ages right now, those decisions that you're making affect the trajectory of your life. And for some of the little ones that are coming up as they look forward, those decisions between those years of 18 and 25 are crucial decisions. Even the decision for three of our young men to be able to go off to Bible school. And granted, it'd be in Hawaii, but for them to go off to Bible school, it's not a cakewalk. They have book reports and they have papers that are due. It's a very disciplined school that they have gone to. And just that decision on their part has shaped the trajectory of their lives, even though they may not realize it totally today, but it has shaped the trajectory of their lives. When we look at decisions, those important decisions in those years, we look at the four C's, careers, companions, characters, and Christ. Those are the decisions in those years of 18 to 25 that are going to really decide how you live your life. They're ultimately going to tell the tale of life. In the end, when you look back, those decisions that you make between 18 and 25 are vital ones. So this morning I want to take some time just to focus on one of these decisions, and that decision is that decision for Christ. Becoming a believer will always be the most important decision that anyone will ever make, and it affects all the other decisions that are going to be made in life as it relates to how we relate to our world. Those decisions, that decision for Christ is going to tell us how we relate to our world, but it's also going to tell us how we relate to our church. And that's what I want to talk about a little bit this morning. As we put down roots in life, it also means putting down roots in the church. And so the question is, does Christ call us to a deeper commitment to his church? Well, that's what we're going to take a little bit of a peek at this morning. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we do give you thanks for your church, for the family of God that you have provided us. And Lord, this morning, as we look into our responsibilities, our privileges as people who come, who gather together, Lord, I pray that you would lead us. And Lord, if needed, that we would take that extra step of commitment, that to say, this is really my family. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 46 and 47. And this is really, when we look at Acts chapter 2, this is really the birthplace of the church. Before this, there was no church to speak of. There was the Jewish people would meet, and they followed the ordinance of God. They worshipped in that sacrificial system within the temple. But this is the birthplace of the church. And the Holy Spirit, in Acts chapter 2, we read that Christ had died. He ascended into heaven. Well, this is when he sent the Holy Spirit. And it's that upper room experience that where the Holy Spirit was breathed upon the disciples. And then they came out and they began to speak to the people that were in the city. And with the Holy Spirit indwelling people, this is the first time that the Holy Spirit had indwelled people in this manner, in this mass. And people began to respond as the disciples started to teach and preach. The people began to respond to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And so those people began to gather together. And so those people that had heard what the scriptures were saying, heard what the disciples were saying, were in agreeance, and they started to come together. In verse 46, we read, "And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, and they broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily who were being saved." Now, what's interesting about this passage is that it says the Lord added to their number. And so you go, well, to what number? Is it simply the people that were being saved? Yes, it was people that were being saved. That number was increasing. But what were they adding to? What they were adding to is the beginning of the church. As people assembled, began to assemble like-minded-wise, that was the beginning of the church. And that's what was birthed after the Holy Spirit was given to all people. So let's start by asking a question. What is the church? What is the church? If you were to ask someone what the church is, many people would point to a building, like our building. But it's not necessarily, a building isn't necessarily the proper biblical understanding of what the church is. The word church, in fact, comes from the Greek word ecclesia, which means an assembly or the ones that are called out. And that sort of makes sense for what was happening back in Acts chapter 2. These people were being called out. They were assembling together because of their like-mindedness, because of what the Holy Spirit was teaching them through the disciples. The root meaning of church is not that of a building at all, but rather it is an assembly of people. Yet a building is oftentimes how we will identify ourselves, isn't it? We identify the building that we attend, but it is really the people who are the church. So when we look at a biblical perspective of who the church is the ones who are called out. The church is the ones who have received Jesus as Lord and Savior. In his greeting to those in Rome, the Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 16, he writes, "Greet the church that is in their house." So he's identifying the individual, greet so-and-so, and the church that meets in their house. So he identifies the leader, and then he identifies the church. And he says it's not the building, the church isn't their home, it's the people, it's the body of Christ that is assembling there. The church wasn't the building, but it was the people. So the church by definition is people who worship God. The church is also called the body of Christ, which means Jesus, if we think of a body in a physical sense, which means Jesus is the head. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, the Apostle Paul is referring to Christ here, and he says, "And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him, Jesus, to be over everything for the church, which is his body, the fulfillment of him who fulfills everything in every way." So God placed all things under the feet of Jesus and appointed Jesus to be the head over everything for the church. The body of Christ is made up of believers in Jesus Christ, which means that he is our ultimate authority. So if we want to ask the question, is something right or is something wrong, or should we do something or should we not, here is our authority. This is our authority that we go back to. We look into the scriptures, and we look at the principles that are laid out for guidance in life, and that's what makes the body of Christ responsive to the head, which is Jesus. It is ultimately that Jesus is our authority. From the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was given, until his return for his church, we have Jesus as our head, and we function as his church or his body. So Paul also uses the body analogy to help us understand who we are as a church, and we have all heard we all have a head and we all have a body. It's that the natural thing for us to be able to relate to how God relates to us. And so that's why Paul uses the body analogy. And interestingly enough, in Acts, Paul also talks about the body of Christ. And so as the body of Christ, he refers to the members of the body. And he talks about digits, talks about how we function as the body. When we speak of the body of Christ, there are two aspects for us to consider. So we have two parts. So we have this body of Christ. We have our members of the body, the physical workings of the body. But we have a way of looking at this. And so we have, initially, we have the universal church. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, it says, "For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks or slaves or free, and we are all given the same Spirit to drink." So this is a conversation about the universal church. This means anyone who believes is part of the body of Christ, meaning that they have received the Holy Spirit and have been saved. The universal church of God is all of those who have received salvation through Christ. So when we look at the church, there's a universal part to the church. So we say the church globally. And when we talk about that, we're talking about the universal church, those who are believers in different places all around the world. Well, when we look at the church as well, a second way that we look at the church, we break that down into those local bodies of people, and we see the local church. So we have the church universal, and then we have the church local. And that's what Paul was identifying as believers were gathering in these smaller congregations. And if you, in the scriptures, we have the books that are written to certain churches, and it's written to certain people, gatherings of believers in certain cities and in certain regions. So individual gatherings of believers is who the church really is, like we are as a congregation of believers. Now, within those churches, were people who would consider themselves committed to the health and the teaching and the vitality of the church. These people were those who, and we read in the scriptures, were vetted by the local body, and they were found to be of sound doctrine, meaning that they properly understood the scriptures. They understood the importance of salvation. They understood the importance and role of baptism, and they held fast to the teachings of the apostles. We find in 1 Timothy and Acts chapter 12 as well, we find that the names for these people were things like elders, teachers, pastors, deacons, missionaries, leaders, and servants, which kind of covers everybody, that were willing to use their gifts to edify the whole body. So when we have a local church is comprised of all of those things. And the scripture says these are the people that comprise the local church. So there is an organization that already happens, that already was happening in that very beginning, those beginning times of the birth of the church. And we see some of these people being vetted. And the reason I say that is because the Apostle Paul also spoke against the false teachers. So there was a singling out of people that did not hold to sound doctrine, that did not hold to biblical teachings. And he called on those people, on the church, to reject those teachings that tried to come in and infiltrate the church. So there was a system that was already set in place. As new believers would come, there were some of those vetted, some of those other believers who were sound in doctrine, who understood the scriptures, to kind of lead them in a proper understanding of who Jesus is. And this is where putting down roots really comes in. It is a given that we're all part of the universal church. It's a given. We are part of the bigger work that God is doing all around the world. But how does being a Christian, that's what qualifies us, how does that relate to us here at a local level? How does that relate to the local church? What does it mean to put down roots in the local church? Well, I believe that roots involved being called to fully engage the body of Christ and becoming a member of the local church. So when Paul talks about the body, he talks about the members or its different parts. Everybody who has a role that they play in the working of the church, or a gift that they use to bring a blessing to the local church. So let me explain what I'm talking about. And the topic here is membership. And so the question that comes to the forefront is why don't people become members of the church? And this is something, period, like this is something in society that that churches ask. Why don't people become members of the church? Well, there's a number of reasons. For many Christians, it sounds old-fashioned. Membership is something that was done way back when, and it was a way to bind people together. But today, things have changed. And so a lot of people, membership sounds old-fashioned, sounds stiff. It's something that is expected when you go to a bank and you become a member of the bank because you do your banking there, or your golf club. You have to sign up for that. But when it comes to the church, it's a little bit stiff. Why would I have to be a part of a church or a member of a church? In fact, many Christians bristle at the thought of officially joining a church. And they ask the question, why all the hoops? And these are real questions. Why all the hoops? What's the big deal? Why bother joining a local church when I'm already a believer? And that's a valid question. Other Christians, because of historical or traditional or previous church baggage or sometimes church scars, may not be convinced to be church members at all. They say that membership isn't even in the Bible, that there's no place that says you have to be a member of a church. So there's some arguments there. Ironically, I agree that the term member isn't in the Bible as such. But there is a great precedent of an action that is lived out in the lives of believers who were called together to be the church. They might not have identified them as members, but they definitely identify them as leaders and key individuals within the body. And as other members, as the New King James speaks of it, it's those people with the gifts that come to serve. So although the term isn't used outright, the action is definitely implied as people take ownership and put down roots in the local church. But oftentimes joining a church as a member is not done because it just isn't something that you hear about. And I have to say, teaching on membership isn't something that really comes from the pulpit very often. In fact, in these last 5 years, you haven't heard that really at all from the pulpit. And sometimes we do that because we're kind of wrestling with membership on its own anyway. What is the role of membership? But it is an important part of our church. It is an important aspect of who we are as a body of believers. So a lot of times people don't become members because we just don't talk about it. It's not something that is at the forefront like salvation is. And for us here at East Olds, I have been guilty of that, not speaking about the role of becoming members of the local church. Yet it's an important part of our church life because it really instills the putting down of spiritual roots and saying, this really is the family of God that I belong to. This really is the place that I am fed and that I call home. And I want to be a part of that. I want to be connected to that. Well, let me share a couple reasons why I believe that church membership really does matter in a body of Christ. So first of all, in joining a church, you make a visible commitment to Christ and his people. Membership is one way to raise the flag of faith. You state before God and you state before others that you are a part of this local body of believers. You know, it's easy to talk about with glowing terms the invisible church or the body of believers all around the world. So we talk about the universal church and we see God at work. And that's sort of easy to talk about. Yet it's in the visible church, the local church, that God actually expects you to live out your faith. So we can be connected to the global church, but it's right here in this body of Christ that God expects you to live out your faith. Following the giving of the Holy Spirit, Peter preached a sermon calling people to repentance, and 3,000 people responded, and more were added to their number daily, like our scripture said, which means they were all in with Jesus. So these people were coming, and they said, yes, I want to be a part of this family of God. I want to be part of what God is doing here in this local area. If we make a commitment to a local church, it means we are dedicated to a number of things. We're dedicated to getting along. We're dedicated to working together. We're dedicated to finding a common ground, even when we disagree, because we want the body of Christ to glorify the Lord. See, that's that common part for us. When we gather together, are there going to be differences? For sure. Of course there are. But how we differ with one another needs to still bring glory to God. So when we gather together as a church, we find common ground, even though we disagree, because we want the body of Christ to glorify God. You know, it's easy to pick up our ball and go elsewhere if things don't go exactly as we want. But is that really what Christ calls us to do? Is that really what Christ calls us to do? A visible commitment publicly declares that our heart is for the furthering of the gospel through this local body. And that's what should be important to us as the body of Christ, that we glorify God through the body that he has given us, through the family that he has given us. So joining a church helps you make a visible commitment to Christ and his people. Well, secondly, church membership keeps us accountable to the scriptures. Do you know that there are scriptures that tell us exactly how to live, how to serve, how to be filled with grace, how to tithe, how to bless one another? The Bible tells us all of these things. The Bible reveals all of these things. And by identifying ourselves with a particular church, we let the pastors and the other members of the local church know how we intend to be committed to the scriptures. Commit ourselves to the scriptures in our attendance, in our giving, in our prayer, in our service. When we join a church, we are also offering ourselves to one another to be encouraged by one another, rubbing shoulders with one another. We're also saying we are here as a part of the body of Christ to be corrected, to be rebuked if we're on a wrong path. Paul did that all the time. He said, there's many things going right, but this I hold against you. That was Jesus' conversation with the church in Revelation. These things need to be corrected. So we gather together to receive that correction and rebuking, but also the encouragement from Christ. And the scriptures are our basis for that. Church membership counters as well what our Western culture desires in what we call a Lone Ranger Christian attitude. You know, in the early church, aside from a few pastoral letters to individuals, the New Testament is addressed to the churches. The New Testament is addressed to the churches. The body of believers who met together, that's who the bulk of the books in the New Testament were directed towards. There was no individual Christians that intentionally lived outside the context of the local church. It was unheard of. There wasn't a Lone Ranger Christian who said, it's just Jesus and me. And sometimes in our Western culture, we go, you know what, I have this problem or that problem, or this doesn't satisfy or that doesn't satisfy. I'm going to be a Christian on my own. It's just me and Jesus. And you know what? Sometimes we come to points in life where maybe we need to be isolated for a little bit. Maybe we need to be on our own for a little bit. But there is no precedent set in the scriptures that says it is just you and Jesus, and that's all that's ever needed. Because it is always, being a believer is always associated with the body of Christ. There is a high value that Christ puts on the church. In fact, such a high value that the scriptures tell us that he died for the church. He died for the members, the body of believers. He died for the church. So church membership counters what we tend to believe in our Western culture, that we can be alone and still be still function properly as a Christian. Being a member of a church says, I am committed to this group of people and they are committed to me. Being a member of a church says, I'm here to give more than I'm here to get. It says that I'm here not for one kind of worship or one kind of preaching over another. Membership says I am here for the work of Christ, to allow him to work through me and to me. So we're here to allow God to work through us, but we're also here to allow God to work in us. Church membership says that we are part of something that is bigger than who we are. It's that we're a part of the body of Christ, and it isn't just about us. And that kind of dashes our thoughts sometimes, because in life, we really are selfish people, aren't we? Really, everything should center around us. And in our Western culture, that's kind of what we're taught. It's what's important to you. But being part of a church, being a member of a church, tells us that we are a part of something bigger that God is doing. And that we play a role, we have a vital role, an important role. And he says, link in, be part of the church that Jesus established. Well, church membership establishes also, and lastly, a base for us to grow. In the parable of the seed and the sower in Matthew chapter 13, there were many places for the seed to fall when it was scattered. And so the farmer went out and he scattered the seed, and we heard that there was different types of soil to be able to receive it or not receive it. In some places it was choked out, some places it couldn't take root. But the only one place allowed that seed to flourish and produce fruit. And this is why Christ ordained the church. It is why we exist as a church, as people set down their roots in the good soil, and I will say in the good soil of East Olds Baptist Church. As people set down their roots in the good soil of a church, my prayer is that this place would be a place to grow stronger and healthier and grow in our faith and grow stronger as a body of Christ because of your commitment to the Lord's work in this church. When we look at putting down roots in the church, it is a place for us to begin to grow. There's plenty of rocky places. There's plenty of places with thistles. But the church, as Christ has ordained, as he has set up, as imperfect as it is, do you know why the church is imperfect? Because we're all here. And we all come with our own imperfections. But yet Christ looks at this church and he says, with all of our imperfections, I died for you. I died for you. This is how the body works. When you listen to me, Jesus says, when you come to me, when you come to the scriptures, when you obey and you follow and you bring blessing and you share the good news of the gospel, this is why I established the church. This is why I'm here, so that you can grow. As new believers come into a church, they should be able to come in and look at some of those pillars of faithful believers and say, I want to be like her. I want to be like him. If you've got gray hair, this qualifies you. This qualifies you as one of those people who others are going to look up to. And I think we should take that on as a responsibility, and that doesn't just apply to those of us with gray hair, but it's for all of us as believers in Christ. If someone new was to come in and say, I don't know anything about Jesus, can you tell me about him? Or they come in and they say, I want to know about Jesus. Are they going to see Jesus lived out in your life? Are they going to see that? You might not have all the words to be able to say, but your life tells a story too. As a pillar of faith, a pillar of obedience, of a pillar of the family of God. We won't have all the answers. We won't be able to answer all the questions, and we don't have to feel bad about that. But what God calls us to be is people who desire to know what God says about life and living and the body of Christ. So in our context, here at East Olds, how do you become a member? What does that all entail? Well, we ask, we have what's called a baptism class or membership class, talks about baptism, but it also talks about membership. And that's something that doesn't have there's no commitment level that says you have to follow through with anything, but it's an information time. And in that, if you desire to be a member of the church, being a member of the church means that you are willing to share your testimony, and we help you put that together of what Jesus really has done in your life and how he was called you. And I look at it in two ways: how you were before Jesus, when that time happened that Jesus came into your life, and in the change that that has made since then. That's really the essence of a testimony. It says, this is how I even ended up here. And sometimes as believers, sometimes saved a long time ago, we forget our testimony, and really we need to hear the testimonies of believers. So we ask that you share your testimony of how you came to faith, and then we ask that you follow, that you have followed the example of Christ in baptism. And that's laid out scripturally for us. So membership isn't a way to make a person. This is sometimes the context that membership is brought up in. We need board members, so we need more people to become members of the church. And you know what? That thinking, although it's out there, that really is wrong thinking. We don't need members to fill a board that operate or run the church. We don't need members for that. We don't need members to take on leadership roles in the church. We don't need members for that. But rather, the vital step of membership that I would encourage all believers to take is not for any of those reasons, but the rationale behind it is so that you would set down roots in your own life. That you would say, this is really my home. This is really my family. And because this is my family, I want to put down those roots. I want to say I'm a member of this church. I've taken that step. I've raised the flag on my commitment level that says, you know what, this is the place I belong. And these people belong to me. I want to end with a thought for us. Jesus has called each one of us as a body of Christ, as a part of the universal church. And I want to invite you today to consider your role as a member of setting down your roots here in this church as a member, saying, this is my family, and I want to commit to it, to this next stage, to say, this is really where I belong. You can talk to me about that at any time. Give me a phone call. I'll be happy to chat with you of what that looks like. But membership really is important in the church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that today you call us together as your church. And Father, I pray that today, that through the message, through your word, that there was even a little bit of understanding that has been able to be to open our hearts and minds to what you really call us to as your church. Father, thank you that there are so many that do call this home, and that are part of this family and feel a part of this family. And Lord, we just pray that this place would be a home to many, many more. We ask these things now, Jesus, in your name. Amen.
Would you take your hymnals and turn to number 425? Which is in the section of Family of Believers. Let's stand and sing, Bind Us Together.